On Draft Podcast. I am your host, Dalton Miller, joined as always by my co-host, Corey Kinnon. As you can tell, if you're watching on YouTube, it is 3 a.m. for me. I have my first cup of coffee in my hand, and we have, I keep talking about like our favorite episodes. I do believe the Dafter drafts are fun for us because we get to be a little hot takey. The mock drafts are fun because we get to go through these different simulations. But the Q&As are my favorite because it gets us thinking outside of our own heads and into the minds of the people that follow us on social media. And so for me, I like that because it challenges me a little bit more and gives us different topics to talk about. And it just gives us free content. And what is wrong with that? But as always, I cannot do it alone. Corey, I said this to you pre-show. You were the second to last person that I saw before I went to sleep and the first person I saw when I woke up this morning. We're pretty much married at this point. How are you doing?
Good, man. It's a little after 11 here for me. So I'm going to record probably right a little bit and then go to bed on my end. So this is fun to navigate this time difference, the overseas time difference here, but I'm good since the last time I talked to you 8 hours ago.
I'm really excited for us to get back to a 5 hour time difference instead of 4. The 4 is kind of tough. My body is already waking me up at like 4 a.m. right now. And so that's fine. But 3 is like, okay, that might be an hour early. Let's get into the questions here. We have them up in front of our face holes. And they come from the bad place. They come from my Discord. And did you get any on Blue Sky? Because I didn't get any on Blue Sky this time.
I didn't get any bites either. Yeah.
You know, Blue Sky is up or down depending on people, you know, if they're really, really using it or really not. But Discord, my Discord guys, great job. Great freaking job with the questions. The first one is from X, the bad place. And it is from Chris Gerard, who is a fantastic follower of mine, is a Giants fan, but really talks about the NFL and the draft at large. Are there any sleeper off-ball linebackers that you like in this draft class, Corey?
Yeah, so I have 3, but I'm only going to say 2 because I'm pretty sure you really like one and probably one is on your list. So I'll say 2. I'm going to start with Smile Mondin from Georgia. The dude's really raw still instinctually at the linebacker position, but the athletic traits are there and his good is really good. Like his good is really good. The Tennessee game is really good linebacker tape. Like if he played like that consistently, he would go top 50 because he is long, alien built, athletic as it gets, a Georgia athlete. So, I do think that it'll take some time to kind of get his eyes right, both in coverage and coming downhill. But as far as taking a shot on athletic tools, I think that Smile Mondin is probably the best day 3 shot you could take on tools at the linebacker position. My second one is a Shrine Bowl guy and a guy who really impressed me at the Shrine Bowl. And that's Cal's Teddy Buchanan as well. Also a pretty good athlete. I do think there are some instincts there to work with as well, both in coverage and coming downhill. I question how heavy his hands are. I question how well he can deconstruct blocks a little bit, but he does have kind of that like flashy lightning in a bottle where he can twitch past blockers rather than work through them a little bit. So there's a little bit to work there with Teddy Buchanan as well. And he can backpedal. So I think that plays to his advantage a little bit too. So those are the 2 guys that I'll say. And then if you don't say the name that I think you're going to say that I was also going to say, then I'll say that name too.
I'm glad because honestly, I'm not sure if I know who you were talking about here.
You raved about him all Senior Bowl week.
Oh, okay. So it is the same guy. That would be Oregon's Jeffrey Bossa.
No, that's not who I was going to say.
Oh, really? Oh, Shamar James.
Shamar James. The guy who I thought you were.
Yeah, Shamar. Because I knew it was one of the two, because those are the two guys that I was talking about during the Senior Bowl. I still have to get to Shamar James tape. I've watched Jeffrey Bossa, and I'm a big fan of Jeffrey Bossa. The other one is obviously Jack Kaiser. And it's just because he's a Notre Dame linebacker, Notre Dame defensive player. So he's going to be well coached. And that's really all there is to it. I do have a question, though. Is Barrett Carter an under the radar guy at this point? Is he a sleeper at this point?
I think he just is. Like, he's better than Jeremiah Trotter was last year.
I really like him. He's just 5'10 and can't see. Yeah. And so when he can see, things look really good. And he actually brings you a little bit as a pass rusher as well, which is really weird for a super short guy like that. Mm-hmm. But he's pretty decent length for how short he is. And he's athletic as all get out. He's quick. He's darty. It's like a quarterback who is short. It's like Kyler Murray, where you just physically cannot always see the keys that you're supposed to be reading. And that's just what it comes down to. Like, I'm not a heightist. I don't want to be. But it just is what it is. It is the truth. There's a couple linebackers in this class that I kind of like in that later round talk. And then Demetrius Knight is one that neither of us have brought up, but I think he's the big one where we might see the NFL like him a lot more than...
I think he's going to go like second round, so I didn't feel comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah,
talking about him as a sleeper, but
not a name that we hear a ton about.
Yeah,
overall, I don't think, just because nobody cares about linebackers. But this one is from Dr. Salt on Discord, newer Discordian to the channel, but he has been very active and he knows his stuff. Favorite fits for Caleb Johnson. He also asked if he would be a Brian Schottenheimer guy, but we're not going to talk about that. We're just going to talk about his fits in general. Best fit is one where he probably doesn't end up. But I guess he could with the way that team is looking. I think that they need to probably go corner, but it's Minnesota. And I think we've been mocking him to Minnesota. You know, like all of our mock drafts, it kind of makes a whole lot of sense to us. Is there anywhere else? I mean, I can think of one more, but
Cleveland.
Oh yeah.
Cleveland would be at if he's there at 33.
I've seen that multiple times. Yeah, I was going to say I've seen that multiple times recently as well. People talking about the fit there. I do think the other fit that we could talk about specifically from like running a wide zone or a zone offense is. Mm-hmm. At 20 to Denver, but Denver's going to draft Cole.
Well, they just signed Evan Engram, so maybe they'll punt on tight end for... I mean, Evan Engram's more of like a slot. Well, I guess Colson Loveland is though too, but Colson Loveland, I guess you can move around a little bit more.
Yeah, and he really wants his joker. Sean Payton talks about that all the time, and I don't think Evan Engram is that. I mean, Tyler Warren is really who that is, but Tyler Warren I don't think is going to wait until 20 to get selected, so... We'll see. We will see.
Yeah, I would say Houston too, but I think Houston's need is pretty evident after they just completely took dynamite to their entire offensive line.
That was already bad.
Yeah, that was already bad. So I would say Houston would be another team, but probably not.
This next question is from Riley, who is one of the OG Discordians. Do we see more offensive or defensive players go in the top 15 of this draft? That is an interesting question.
All right, I'm going to pull up a simulator real fast because I have to visually see.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a really good question because this entire year we've talked about it's a better defensive class than an offensive class. It's a better defensive class than an offensive class. But defenses are very much built around scheme and player fit. And offense is where you really want to get your franchise stalwarts. And so for me, This is a really tough discussion, but we went through and kind of mocked out the first 15. And it is close. And it is really close if you think Travis Hunter might end up playing offense. It ended up being 8-7. 8 defensive players and 7 offensive players for us. Mm-hmm. If he is a defender. If he's a wide receiver. If he's a corner, then it's obviously 9-6. But that was a really tough exercise, and it can still go either way because there are a couple teams that we really struggled going through and say, hey, they have needs on both sides of the ball, so it really can go either way. And the NFL draft is fascinating because by the time that day in April rolls around, a guy or two or three are going to go in the top 15 who we didn't think had a snowball's chance in hell going top 15.
Yeah.
Derek Harmon, we brought up to the Saints. And that's just like a name I wouldn't have even thought about discussing. But 320 pounds, has a pass rush profile, is a better run defender than you would think. His moves a little bit funky, but like...
it works for him.
Yeah.
His body type is weird too. Like, he's got a lot of fluff on him, but he's like rocked up underneath of it and he moves well, even though he looks a little puffy.
Yeah.
He's an interesting player.
Yeah. And so, yeah, anything can happen, but we do think more defense than offense.
Yeah. The only thing that I would add is, there's a couple wild cards. One, Tet McMillan is still on the board in this scenario. We didn't have him going somewhere in the top 15, and some team absolutely could. And two, we're probably going to see a premium on offensive tackles. Like, look how much money mid to bad offensive tackles are getting free agency. So we could see teams like
have Shadur in the top 15 either.
And we didn't have Shadur in the top 15. Josh Connerly, Kelvin Banks, and Josh Simmons were all still on the board in this top 15 exercise that we did just to kind of sort it out. So if teams do say, no, we need tackles and they reach, we could see some issues there as well that could cause some more offensive players to go. But right now I'd lean defense as well. Yeah.
I don't know who this next questioner, I don't know how to, it's a bunch of letters. It's WHS.
Yes, this is a reply to my Twitter account. Yeah. This is a mention in my Twitter account.
It's WHS, MEUZNEIXNEI. That I don't even know what sound that would make. What should the Patriots do if Hunter and Carter aren't there? Not what will they do, because they're going to take an offensive lineman. They're going to take Will Campbell or they're going to take Armon Membau here. What should they do, Corey?
Yeah. Honestly, they probably should take Will Campbell or Armon Membau. Like, that's I'm looking at it. I'm like, I mean, 4 is too high for Tet and they have a need at wide receiver.
Well,
like
listen, Corey, if we
4 is too high for Matthew Golden,
if we stay true to our board,
Luther Burden, but I think 4 is even too high for Luther Burden.
Will Johnson.
But they just signed Carlton Davis though to play opposite.
I understand that as well. But if we're talking about drafting good players, but then again, we need to talk about cost.
Yeah.
And taking a corner is fine. The issue with corners, even taking corners high, and I think it's a really big reason why a corner hasn't gone one in ever, is that it's an incredibly volatile position. Mm-hmm. No matter how good you are, those guys on the other side, you have to mirror the best athletes in the world. Mm-hmm. And they have all of the rules in their advantage.
Yep.
And so there's a reason they make more money. There's a reason why we see guys have outstanding years at corner and then fall off a cliff. It's also a very, very confidence-driven position as well. You have to have the mind of a goldfish. And so for me, yeah, I think high, you have a better... It's a better team-building experiment to just try to build in the trenches. What about Mason Graham here?
After all the money they just spent on Mason or Milton Williams?
Different players, though.
They are different players. I think Mason Graham makes sense because they did just trade Davin Gaddo to the Saints. I don't know
and I think,
his name.
And I think interior pressure if you miss out on the exterior pressure guy, somebody like Mason Graham paired with Milton Williams on the interior could be a pretty devastating duo.
And Christian Barmore's had his health issues and like the blood clots and some stuff.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, he might not play.
Yeah. So Mason Graham would make some sense here too, but I do think it's probably one of those three between Campbell, Membau, and Graham that make the most sense.
Yeah, I agree.
Would you be shocked? Agree. Would you be shocked though, because of the usage they've gotten out of guys like a guy like Hunter Henry, if they were just like, F it, let's go get Tyler Warren.
Well, having Drake May and Tyler Warren on the same football team
would be unreal.
Awesome. That would be awesome. Would be. I haven't thought about that, but we're taking a tight end at four.
That would be Steve.
You better know how to use them. And I'm not giving that credit to Josh McDaniels.
That's a valid concern. It's a valid concern.
Maybe Ashton Jaynty here.
Pairing him and Ramondre. I know that
Stevenson is there. And Stevenson's a good player, but like Josh McDaniels and they want to, their head coach has a run the damn ball hat. Like,
yeah,
you never know. You never know.
Yeah. They've very much focused on the trenches as well, which makes me think that's why I think Campbell or Membau would be the pick, but I wouldn't put it past them to just take a blue chip or like Warren or Jansey though.
Yeah. And I think it's intelligent to build off of building the interior offensive or the offensive and defensive lines. The trenches are where you win football games consistently. The next question we have is from Punk and Shine, who is also a Riley Leonard fan. It's a little bit of a joke that we have in the Discord there. Would you draft any of the tight ends in this class in the top 20? We absolutely would. Tyler Warren for us.
Yeah.
Tyler Warren for us is the best tight end that we've seen in quite some time, in my opinion.
I think Colson Loveland is like right on the fringe there. I think Denver at 20 is a good fit, but
I didn't want to argue with him on the social media because it's just not like really where I'm at this point in my life. But he's a buddy of mine and I really respect him and we talk a lot about ball. I just didn't have the time yesterday. And he was talking about Colson, and he was talking about the AC joint injury and how that hampered his ability as a blocker this year. And I didn't really think about that going through his film. I just don't see, and he didn't see Helm as a good blocker either. So like him and I just kind of see these tight ends a little bit differently. Like I don't even see Colson Loveland as a tight end. I see him as a big slot. I see him as a wide receiver. He thinks that he's a better blocker and more versatile blocker. And I always am like this. I want to see this perspective from other people, and other people might also see this perspective. And if he has the frame to build on it, maybe he can be, you know, more of an all-around tight end than I think he could be, which is more of like an offensive weapon. He really likes the way he moves. He thinks that he moves a little bit like Drake London, and I think he moves a little bit like Drake London too, a little bit like Marquez Colston in that offense for Sean Payton. So like that's where I see Payton, and that's in the top 20 right there as well. So it's right on the cusp, but it is what it is.
They're the only two though.
We
did like a full bell curve on this tight end class. You and I did. We started out low and we're like, wait, this tight end class is secretly awesome, and now we're back to like there's some fun players, but
it's good, but it's still tight end at the end of the day, and you just don't draft those guys high. You just find an athlete on day three to try to develop. This one is from Corb from Discord. How do the Titans get out of purgatory? They built the offensive. We've talked about this before. They built the offensive line.
The biggest teller taking the quarterback.
You got to absolutely smack on Cam Ward somehow. And maybe they do. And maybe Cam Ward proves both of us wrong and gets it quickly. I just think if you are really going to get out of purgatory, you draft Cam Ward. You find a veteran to start. You say, Cam, you're not going to play at all as a rookie. Sorry, but it ain't happening. Let him sit. Let him become a pro. Because my biggest issue with Ward is not even like specifically the tape. It's the tape over the past 3 years where I haven't seen the cognitive growth that I want to see from an NFL quarterback. It just has not materialized. That's what bothers me the most. Mm-hmm. The physical talent, we've talked about it a million times. It's there. It's getting everything above the shoulders where everything below the shoulders already is. That, for me, is the question.
Yeah, obviously hitting on the quarterback is huge, and I don't think, based on what I've heard, that their plan is to not play him. Yeah. What I've heard is they're looking for, like, veteran quality backup players who can mentor him on the fly. Like a Jake Browning is the name that I've heard, because he has familiarity with Brian Callahan. And so I think that's the route they're going to take. So we'll see how that works. For me, with the Titans,
the thing they should do is eat crap with Will Levis.
Yep.
See if you can salvage any value out of him if he plays half decent. Because even if he plays half decent, you just drafted a quarterback at one. That guy's going to eventually play. Unless Will Levis is just unbelievable. And then you have a really weird situation with Cam Ward. But, like, I don't see that happening, obviously. And so you start Will Levis. You try to salvage some value. You get a guy, like you said, like Jake Browning, to mentor Cam Ward on the sideline. And you just eat crap with Will Levis for another year.
Yeah, I think my bigger issue with the Titans, and this is, if they take Cam Ward, it's not going to fix it, is they never have any sort of congruency between front office and coaching staff. They have this very weird pattern of firing GMs and head coaches in separate years. Like, they fired John Robinson, but they kept Mike Vrabel, and then they brought in Rand Carthon, and then a year later they fired Mike Vrabel because Mike Vrabel didn't want to stick it, like, didn't like their plan. And then a year later they hired Brian Callahan, and then a year later they fired Rand Carthon, but they kept on Brian Callahan. So they just keep doing this thing where they're staggering the firings and hirings of their head coach and GM, and there's never any sort of congruency, any sort of unity between the front office and head coach.
Synergy.
Yeah. And here's the thing, that if they draft Cam Ward, and I've heard from guys in Tennessee, is like, even if they win 8 games, they're going to fire Brian Callahan because Borgonzi is going to want his own guy. So then what you do then is you have to hire a head coach not only Borgonzi wants, but like that you think will work well with the quarterback. And then if he doesn't work well with the quarterback, you're going to be looking for a new quarterback. And if you have to look for a new quarterback after too long, you're going to be looking for a new GM. And it's just kind of the same cycle over and over and over again. So the Titans have to figure out some way to get everybody on the same page.
Yeah.
Because it hasn't happened in a very long time.
100% agree.
Yeah.
This one is all from, right. This next one is from Ashish. The Seahawks O-line needs work. What is the best logical pick for them at 18? I thought they might be rebuilding, but it seems like they're just doing a quick retool. They signed Darnold. They signed DeMarcus Lawrence. They kept Reed. What exactly are they doing? Offensive line is always and forever will be a need for the Seattle Seahawks. I just think it's a position that is just, it is what it is there. It's kind of like quarterback for the Chicago Bears forever. It's just, you can't find it. It was like that with the Seahawks, where during the Russell Wilson era as well. It was that way during the Geno Smith era. The best, most logical pick for them at 18 might be wide receiver. And probably is wide receiver. Because at the end of the day, like we talked about earlier, premium on offensive tackles. And I do think when you look at this class, 18 might be the sweet spot for it. Because you're looking at guys like Banks and Simmons, Connerly, Savinai. I mean, that's not tackle, it's more guard, but like,
yeah,
you have some guards there as well. Like, there will be offensive linemen in that area, but you might be able to find one of the top three or four wide receivers in this class at 18. And then after that initial jump for offensive tackles, even if you don't get your offensive tackle at 18, you might be able to get a really good quality guard. in the second round. And that will help your offensive line. And looking at the guard contracts in free agency, good gosh, you might want to start drafting guards earlier because there is a little bit more of a premium on that position all of a sudden. So, yeah, for me, Kelvin Banks feels like a Seattle Seahawk, but we're just going to kind of have to wait and see.
The hard part is that all these guys are left tackles and Charles Cross is their left tackle. So like,
what about Cam Williams in round two?
I think I like him in round two. We're done with the round one conversations with Cam Williams.
Yeah.
So I think that's a good fit.
And I don't think they won't need to start him immediately because they still have why do I always forget his name? The Washington State cat.
Oh, Abe Lucas?
Yeah, they still have Lucas at right. Let me
just make sure. Can't stay healthy. This is honestly a class that the Seahawks could literally go first and second round at wide receiver, and I'd be like, yeah, cool, that sounds good to me.
And I'm a fan of teams doubling up like that.
Yeah, because for me, I have a really hard time finding a really good fit for Tet McMillan, and now this is a really good fit for Tet McMillan because they traded their true ex in DK Metcalf. So for me, if McMillan's on the board, this feels like a very good McMillan spot. The issue I have with the other receivers that might be in that range, like Emeka Ikpuka, Luther Burden, Matthew Golden, is not overlapping too much with the skill set of Jackson Smith and Jigba and what he can do. But I actually think also Tyler Lockett had a similar skill set, but like could also win at the Z. So like this would be a pretty good Matthew Golden slot as well.
Yeah, it would. Yeah.
Compare Matthew Golden and Jackson Smith and Jigba.
I need to come back
and get like Jaden Higgins in the second round.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. I need to go over this depth chart right now. Good gosh. Jake Bobo, Marquez Valdez Scantling, JSN. Fantastic. Charles Cross, Satoa Lumaya at left guard, Olu Olu at center, Anthony Bradford at guard, Abe Lucas at tackle. Yeah. Whoa.
They did draft Christian Haynes on day two last year, too, out of UConn. So, like, Haynes could fit in there somewhere, too, at guard.
Yeah.
But, yeah it's not pretty.
It is very much not pretty. It's actually a lot uglier than I thought it was. Yeah. The final question, let's end on a banger here. This one wasn't really a question, but it was more of a conversation between three guys on Discord, Quan, Punk, and Austin. And Austin Maul, it's Mowell. I hope I said your last name correctly. But they were talking about Luther Burden and the potential that he slips or if this is a prospect fatigue thing. And that's the question I'm going to pose to you, Corey. At the end of the day, is this going to be like a Derek Stingley thing where he was good when he was younger, he had a little bit of a down year in his final, his draftable season, and then he still ends up just going incredibly high because the talent is there and because we've seen it in years past. And especially with somebody like Luther Burden, he can't throw himself the football.
Yeah.
And so what do you think? Is it prospect fatigue or is he actually going to slip?
So how far are we talking about?
Like outside the top 20?
I don't think outside the top 20. But I understand the Luther Burden stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
You have to be more creative in thinking of his skill sets and how that translates somewhere else that he doesn't play in college. And so I do think there are some legitimate hesitancies with Luther Burden. So I don't, it's not the same level of prospect fatigue that like we've talked about with Will Johnson, where I'm like, I don't understand what Will Johnson. For me personally, I think he's the best receiver in the class because I think he's so goddamn explosive. Even if I do think he's a little tight in the ankles and the route running might take a little bit, I see the body control. I see the play through contact. I see the explosiveness and there's no reason that guy can't play Z at 5'10 and 206 pounds or whatever he is. Like, there's no reason this is a slot only and we should be talking about him as a slot only. And so for me, that's where it's like, yeah, this is a guy. And this is a guy that I will take early. And there's a multitude of ways to get the football in his hands. So for me, I would take him in the top 10, but I don't think that it's legitimate prospect fatigue as much as it just takes a little more creativity. And I do think his draft stock is pretty all over the map.
So the way that I look at Luther Burden is pretty much one-to-one. When I envision him as a pro, I envision if Ja'Marr Chase is like a Formula One level. I was trying to think of like retailers, but I can't think of like high-end retailers versus like mid-level retailers. If he is Red Bull in Formula One the past couple of years, I think Luther Burden is like the Aston Martin version of that, where like there are times where he looks like a rocket ship and he, you can really, really see it like, oh, they could contend. He could be that guy. Mm-hmm. And then there's times where it just doesn't happen and he's just not there and he's not part of the offense and he's just running slot fades and not getting the ball, or running posts and running wide and free and not getting the ball, or it's just times where it's just not all meshing together. And so for me, it's like the dollar store, but like I think calling him a dollar store version of Ja'Marr Chase is derogatory. And I think that he is a very good prospect who, or maybe not a very good prospect. And that's the other issue. It's like, I think he's a great athlete. I think that you get the ball in his hands and he can do some really fun stuff. And he is 5'11 and 206 pounds and he has great contact balance and he's really shifty and he can make guys miss. And I think it's all there. And then I look at the route running and I look at the route tree overall and I'm like, well, that's going to take a little bit of getting used to. But then I look at Ja'Marr Chase, who I had the same questions about. The same questions about him as a route runner. I didn't like him as a route runner, and he fell down my board because of it. I had other guys higher. And then he goes to the NFL level, and he just beats the crap out of guys. So I think at the end of the day, he is going to be able to win at the NFL level, and that just is what it is. So that's all we got. That was the last question. Corey's got to run here real quick. They're a little bit of a somebody just woke up in the family. He's got two small children, so we are going to get out of here. I love you guys. This was a Q&A. Goodbye.